And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we are lucky to have Dr. Andy Kolb. He is the President and Chief Executive Officer for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And welcome, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks for having me again. This is one of many times I've had the privilege of joining you on the show. So thank you very much.
That is correct. We've worked with you many times in the past when you were with Nemours Children's Hospital. And as a pediatric hematologist, I know that this is an exciting time for you to be at the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. We're going to talk a little bit about the Dare to Dream project, if you don't mind. But for someone who's not familiar with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, can you give us that quick mission statement about what you're here for?
So, first of all, again, thank you for having me today. And as you mentioned, I'm a pediatric oncologist. I've been practicing in the Delaware Valley for 17 years now. And I have been volunteering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society since 2007, working very closely with them over the past 5 years to develop their investments in pediatrics. And as a pediatric oncologist, it really is such a so wonderful to see an organization like the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society investing and working on new therapies for children. LLS is the largest volunteer healthcare organization in the world dedicated to blood cancers. And since its inception 75 years ago, this is our 75th anniversary year, LLS has invested more than $1.7 billion in blood cancer research. Many of the advances that we have seen in cancer research and blood cancer research specifically can be tracked back to investments and grants that LLS has awarded. About 70% of the drugs that have been developed in the last 10 years have been funded in part by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So it is a real pleasure to be part of this organization. And as a pediatrician, I think it's just so critical that organizations like this focus on developing new therapies and ensuring progress for children with cancer.
Can we go back and discuss blood cancer? And that's plural, blood cancers. For many years, you were the Leukemia Society, then Leukemia Lymphoma Society. We hear we're hearing more and more diseases associated that you are working with. And so can we get a definition about what is a blood cancer? And then I'd like to know more about who is likely or who gets them, and talk a little bit about the numbers.
Yeah. So blood cancers are second most common class of cancers in children and adults, most common in children, second most common in adults. And these are cancers that include leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma, myelodysplasia, myelofibrosis, and Hodgkin's disease. This is a wide range of cancer types that start in the bone marrow, the blood cells, and immune system cells.
Are we seeing more of them?
So there has been an increase in incidence over time. Some of that is due to detection. Some of that is due to the fact that people are living longer, so they're living long enough to get cancer. And some of that is probably due to the fact that people may be exposed to toxins that increase the risk for developing cancers.
So age is a factor in this. Are we more likely as we get older to develop a blood cancer versus another kind? And environment, is that part of what you're researching?
You know, absolutely. Blood cancers can evolve from risks that are associated with socioeconomic status, age, race, ethnicity, but also exposures. And we have seen for example, in first responders, that some of them have a higher risk of developing certain types of blood cancers. And we did this study in first responders to the 9/11 attacks. But that doesn't tell the whole story, because children haven't seen any of these exposures, and blood cancers are among the most common in childhood. So there are blood cancers that evolve simply from random mutations that occur in our bone marrow and immune system cells.
What about genetics? Is there any part that is inherited in blood cancer?
Yes, there are certain genetic predisposition syndromes that make it more likely for somebody to develop a blood cancer at any age. There are certainly ones that predict higher risk for developing blood cancers in childhood and young adulthood. These aren't tests, or these aren't syndromes that we can easily screen for, and they're extremely rare in the general population.
So these, I'm going to guess, is after a child has developed cancer, you're going to go back and look. It's not like a BRCA gene that women are so aware of at this point.
Exactly. And I think the difference is that the BRCA gene is more common, and the penetrance, the likelihood of developing a malignancy with that gene, is higher than what we see in many of the cancer predisposition syndromes in children. But we are getting closer. You know, the survival rates in cancer in general in the United States have improved significantly over the last 20 to 30 years. Big chunk of that survival, that improved survival, isn't due to new therapeutics. It's due to screening and prevention. It's due to mammograms and colonoscopies and skin cancer screening. It's due to smoking cessation programs and other programs that we can institute to reduce risk for developing cancer. In the blood cancers, we haven't really had a good scientific or clinical foothold to develop screening and prevention programs until just recently. We have, through work funded by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we have identified that there is testing that we can do on blood cells that may be able to predict whether or not somebody's risk for developing a blood cancer. There's also screening that we can do in patients that have a higher risk for developing specific types of blood cancer. We are just in the early phases of understanding the benefit of this testing. And Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is investing quite a bit of money over the next 5 years to really accelerate the development of screening and prevention programs for blood cancers. We think that this is a wonderful opportunity to continue to improve survival rates for patients who are affected.
When we talk about prevention, obviously stop smoking, exercise, eat well. There are so many things we can do to prevent your traditional or standard, what we think of as cancer. There is no prevention program for blood cancers?
Not yet. Not yet, there isn't. We understand a lot about the biology, a lot about what causes blood cancers. We don't have a specific strategy yet for preventing cancers. What we do have is an understanding of the pattern of development and making sure that patients and healthcare providers are educated about the risk factors and who's at risk for developing a blood cancer, at what age they're at risk, and making sure that patients and healthcare providers are empowered with the right information to make the best decisions.
Let's talk about research, because I know that there are three arms to your work. One is obviously research, but then there is also patient services and education. And I want to talk a little bit about advocacy in this as well. But let's get into research first, because, again, you're one of the biggest funder for the research and for producing these results. Exciting news. What's happening? Do you look for treatment or do you look for cure? Is it prevention or and environment issues?
Yeah, again, it's all of the above, but we have a huge focus on developing new therapies. For example, immunotherapies are a revolution in cancer care, including blood cancers as well as other cancer types. LLS has invested more than $79 million in next generation of immunotherapy treatments in the last few years. And we have consistently funded innovative science focused on what's next, focused on the pipeline of innovation, knowing that the treatments that we have today, while some of them are great, they're just not good enough. We need to do more. We need to be able to cure more patients, and we need to be able to do so with fewer side effects. So funding the best science continues to be at the core of who we are as the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. The other area of research, though, isn't just about discovery of new targets, new drugs, new therapies. It's also about making sure that those therapies get to the patients who need them. And access to innovative therapies is a problem in the United States. We have, you know, many of these therapies that we're talking about, they may cost upwards of six figures a year to administer. And some of those are hospital-based therapies like cellular therapies, CAR T cells. Some of those are pills that patients need to take every day. And all of these therapies can have a very high copay or a very high cost burden for the patient. So we know from recent reports that about 45% of cancer patients abandon therapy or delayed therapy when faced with $2,000 in out-of-pocket expenses. And that's a really low number when you consider that the cost of leukemia care for a newly diagnosed leukemia patient is almost $500,000 in the first year of treatment. And that's even before we get into some of the expensive immunotherapies. About 42% of patients will deplete their entire life's assets within 2 years of diagnosis, which is really quite remarkable. And LLS just recently completed a survey of more than 4,000 blood cancer patients. 48% of them said that they felt trapped by the debt that they accrued during treatment. 45% said they'll never be able to pay off that debt. And almost a quarter, almost one in four, said that their medical debt ruined their life. And that's pretty remarkable when you think about the therapy that we invested in that's innovative, that saved that patient's life. From their perspective, the debt accrued in receiving that therapy also had a significant negative impact on their life. So we have a lot of work to do in making sure that we create a healthcare ecosystem that allows patients access to care and allows patients to access to care that they can afford. So we recognize that the science of discovery isn't limited just to laboratory medicine. The science of discovery is also needs to focus on the delivery of that innovative care.
Well, I had alluded to advocacy, and you just opened that can of worms there too.
Yeah.
Because it's insurance, it's the trials, it's funding. And again, so many communities or so many populations getting that access to all three of the above.
Yeah. So we at LLS, at Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we really focus on a circle of care, focus on developing new therapies, focus on making sure that patients are educated about those therapies so that they can access them and that they have the navigator and clinical trials support to access new therapies, and about advocacy. So I think about patient services as access today, and I think about advocacy as access down the road, or access, sustainable access over time. We have advocates with expertise in federal policy, and advocates in many of the states throughout the country with expertise in individual state policies. Medicaid is state-based and may be quite bespoke depending on what state you're in. Medicare is a federal policy, and we need to make sure that patients have a healthcare and regulatory infrastructure that supports them and that puts them at the center of our policymaking.
So geography and income can determine your outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. Some of these some of these innovative therapies that we're talking about, this, especially the immunotherapies, we see that maybe only 20, 30, 40% of patients who can benefit from them actually receive those therapies because they need to be administered in regionally restricted institutions, so typically larger medical centers, or because transportation to those medical centers or taking time off to get the therapies may just be too much for some patients and some families. And then we also see that not all insurance, not all payers will provide enough support so that patients can afford those therapies. We really do have a long way to go to make sure that all patients can access the therapies that are most likely to benefit them.
What do you mean by education? Because you mentioned educating the patient to receive the treatments, to be aware and to receive. What's your programming towards education? And is it to people like me, patients, or is this to peers, your peers?
Yeah, it's so certainly we have education programs directed towards healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, everybody involved on from the healthcare side. But the patient education is focused on from diagnosis through survivorship, making sure that patients know how to navigate the healthcare system, know what their disease is and what their treatment options are, know what clinical trials they may be eligible for and may be able to benefit from. And this is all done through our Information Resource Center, or IRC, which is staffed mostly by master's prepared social workers and a nurse, or a clinical trial support center, which is staffed by nurse practitioners. And they are there to help answer questions, help patients navigate the healthcare system, and be a resource to help them figure out what treatment is best for them and what trial may be right for them.
If you're just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Dr. Andy Kolb. He is the president and CEO of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And if you'd like more information about what we are discussing today, more information about anything, just go to lls.org. That easy, lls.org. I do have to hear say props to the local chapters, the local affiliates of Leukemia Lymphoma Society. They are there from the moment you get the diagnosis to walk you through. They are a phone call away to navigate possibly the worst thing you can hear, and that is all part of your direct patient services that you offer through the local chapters. And we're going to talk a little bit more about them, because of course you got to fund all this research and you have to fund these chapters that provide these vital services. But you mentioned survivorship, and that talks about life after a blood cancer, and that made me think of kids again. And I mentioned this at the beginning, the Dare to Dream project, because children are so often the forgotten ones in major research projects. And do you want to talk a little bit about this, especially again as you being a pediatric hematologist and coming from a pioneering program there at Nemours?
Yeah, well, thank you for highlighting Dare to Dream. This is something that has been near and dear to my heart for a long time. As a pediatric oncologist, specifically one focused on developing new therapies for children with leukemia, it has been, it is always difficult seeing that access to care for children is often dictated by policy and financial decisions, not about the best effective therapies. Through Dare to Dream, LLS has created a master clinical trial platform and is bringing pharmaceutical companies to the table to make sure that we have a menu of clinical trial options that are relevant for and in benefit of children with leukemias. And it has been a wonderful success so far. But it's also, LLS is making a five-year, $175 million commitment to children with cancer. And this is inclusive of patient services, patient navigation services, patient support, as well as advocacy and new research funding, new funding for basic and translational and clinical science and support of innovative therapies for children with blood cancers.
When you mentioned that the research part of it, because so many children in many diseases, they end up taking the adult research
yep.
shows, and
yep.
they go, oh, well, scale it down to their body weight, and nobody looks at a child as a growing creature and one that will survive many years after the effect.
Yeah, you know, the challenges in pediatric cancer care are immense because we need to treat the leukemia, but the leukemia exists, as you mentioned, in a growing child, and these therapies that we administer, when they're not sufficiently targeted to the cancer cells, they're very toxic to normal cells, and it can have an impact on growth. Can have an impact on liver function, cardiac function, lung function, cognitive function, and these children carry these side effects with them for life. Our goal should be to cure all patients and to do so with minimal side effects. That takes a lot of effort, a lot of focus, and it also takes us developing therapies that are designed for childhood leukemias, not trying to figure out how to make adult therapies work in kids. And that is the focus of Dare to Dream. It really is about daring to dream about a day when children can be cured of their cancer with minimal side effects.
And of course, all of this takes dollars. It takes a lot mm-hmm. of money. When you're throwing around 5 years and $100 million in the Dare to Dream project alone, and the local chapters, do you want to just really quickly just talk a little bit about what the local chapters do? And then I'm going to mention a great fundraiser that's coming up in the greater Delaware Valley area.
Yeah, so we have 27 regions throughout the U.S. We're in every major metropolitan area as well. And we do local events like our Light the Night events, our student and visionaries and visionaries of the year campaigns. And a big event is our Big Climb. Our local region, the southeastern PA Delaware region. I'm biased, but I do think that's one of the best anywhere. Don't tell the other regions I said that. But it's where I started with LLS 17 years ago, working for the local board, and I have been an active participant in every event that LLS sponsors. But I have to say, Big Climb is one of the most fun. I did my first event last year. And it's at the link. It's at the link this year on May 11th, and you get to climb up and down the stairs at the link and go out on the field, and there'll be some players there. It's just an awesome event.
I have done a big climb. I did 4,475 steps in 17 minutes.
Wow.
I thought I was going to die at the end. I was only lapped by three other climbers.
That's incredible.
I had the best time. You know, adrenaline drives you through something like that.
Yep.
And I thought afterwards,
yep.
you know, I'm going to do the walks for now. Light the Night. That's a little bit more my speed from now on. But it is a wonderful event, and it's fun, and you can do it at your own pace. You don't have to be a maniac. You sign up by going to the website, and that is lls.org/bigclimb/EPA/bigclimbphilly24. But I've discovered that if you just go to Google and type in Big Climb Philly, you're going to get
yep,
to the website where you'll be able to register right away to get to go out to Lincoln Financial Field. And I mean, how often do you get to hang out at the ballpark like that? Is that what you call a Lincoln Financial Field, a ballpark? It's football. But anyway,
football.
And the access, and it's a fun event too. The camaraderie, the entertainment, it's a blast. And it funds all of this vital research. And again, when I mentioned that LLS is there for the patient, I've had friends that were diagnosed, and the first thing I said to them, I didn't go, oh, well, you're strong. I didn't do any of those platitudes. I said, call LLS. It will be the best phone call you make, and it's going to get you off the wall. And And that is what happened. Because they are there, they're understanding, they have resources, and they're knowledgeable, and they've been through it, and they are there for the patient. Not that vague number in a research trial. They're there for the individual.
Yeah. And if you work for a company, if you're looking for a great event for your colleagues or a group of friends, it's just a wonderful day. It's a festival picnic atmosphere and just a lot of fun. Great place to hang out for the day, too. Lots of celebration.
And again, the funds are so vital for the work that you're doing. Again, locally and nationally and globally from the research that you're doing there.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. It is one of more important events that we do to fund our mission, and we can't without the money, there's no mission. And what we do is so critical for patients and families in the area. And this is a great way to come out, share time with them. Many of the patients and families will be there. And it's a great way to show your support for the fight that they're going through.
And of course, throughout the year, you can always just make a donation. And volunteers are needed as well. Peers, people who have actually gone through this process and are on the other side, and also volunteers who help man the events that you do or even the offices.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for highlighting all that, Laura. It's a great event. Really excited about it.
Will you be there this year?
I will. I'm actually training for a bike event in Tahoe called America's Most Beautiful Bike Ride, 100 miles around Tahoe, sponsored by LLS. So I'm going to ride my bike to the link and maybe climb a few stairs. I don't think I'll be able to do all of them after that bike ride from Westchester.
Well, and that's another thing. When you go to your website, lls.org, you find out, well, one, about the mission and all the programming that they offer. And that includes the local programming that is just vital for someone who receives a diagnosis, someone who is going through this right now. The support that they offer is just, you cannot say enough about what they are capable of doing for the caregivers, the patients, the families, anyone involved with this, but also great opportunities to get involved, like volunteering or events throughout the country, because you do a lot of events throughout the year for fundraising.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that, Laura. And I hope to see folks out there on May 11th for the big climb.
I hate to say it. We are out of time. What's the takeaway? Bring us home and wrap this up. What should we know? What should we learn about LLS?
Leukemia Lymphoma Society is an amazing organization that puts patients at the center of everything that we do, from research to services and financial support direct to patients, and policy advocacy that will help change the healthcare system in favor of patients with all types of cancer.
We find you at lls.org. That's Leukemia Lymphoma Society, lls.org. And again, there you will find calendar of events, opportunities for you to get involved, ways to connect with them for the direct patient services that they offer, everything from support groups for caregivers to clinical trial information. It's all there, lls.org. That is also where you can register and find out more about Big Climb Philly coming to the Lincoln Financial Field on May 11th this year. Start your squats right now. Start training. Get your friends, get your company involved. You can register as an individual or as a team. It is a blast. It's a fun day. And again, it supports the work of the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, everything from the Dare to Dream project to their advocacy work that supports us all. LLS.org. And here's where I say thank you to E. Anders Kolb, MD. Andy Kolb, he is the president and chief executive officer for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is wonderful. Great conversation and great to see you again.
It's always fun seeing you, and we'll see you again May 11th at Big Climb Philly. Again, more information about everything we talked about today at lls.org. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.